here now, peace exists. Love, whatever you want to call it, life itself exists, is your existence, is what you are.
I am.
I am. Whatever you were trying to attempt in that process becomes irrelevant. But then people say, okay, well, nonetheless, I have a flat tire on my car. Let's get really real about it, right? There are things that arise in the realm of time and action and movement and process. You can't do anything to avoid the reality that there is a process, albeit it's short and relatively simple. There's a process when your tire is flat.
There are things to do.
Right.
There are things to do.
Right.
In the same realm of being.
Right. And so, okay, perfect. Thank you for that. So one is abiding in the essence of existence. I am. Wait for it. Suddenly, one has to pee. That's always my entry point into what's about to come through. It's like, one is existing as the I am. And just like the baby, something arises. What are the things that arise for a baby? They need to eat. They need to poop. Something, maybe biological or otherwise, is fundamentally necessary for the aliveness to continue within the form.
Within the human vessel.
Right. That is unavoidable, right? And from that basis arises action. Take food, for example. Big question there. How does one acquire food? Okay, you're in that baseline, I am. You're in the essence. The body requires food. In order to attain food, no matter what circumstance you're in, it requires action, right? The action of going to a tree, of picking some plants, of going to the store, whatever it is, right? Fill in the blank. The structures, so to speak, that comes to be around that process is the, like, posts and purlins and structure of the walls and the roof of the house. It's the basic skeleton of the house before you put all the fancy stuff on it. You have to eat. As far as we know, the shaman says that eating is a human's greatest addiction.
Oh.
Interesting. Framework there. We won't get into that now. But generally speaking, people have to eat. They have to drink water, right? In a natural setting, to drink water, you're not sitting around with like fresh water in huge tubs, right? It goes, it turns. You know, fresh water becomes not fresh if it's not flowing.
Mm.
So the best way to acquire fresh water is from a flowing source, like a spring. So in order to do that, you know, in a natural setting, people collect it little by little. You know, maybe a few gallons at a time. I used to take my 6-gallon jug up to the spring on Kauai at Makaleha and take 6 gallons at a time. So one is required to act in order to attain the water, to attain the food, right? And there's things around that in order to... in order to, say, cook that gourd,
mm-hmm.
right? You got to collect wood. In order to collect wood, you got to... And then you start to build the structure, the framework of your life.
There is doing.
Absolutely. We're here.
And there are processes of doing.
Right. We're in the realm of doing. And to do in the state of being is a fundamentally... we'll say with words, different aliveness.
Mm, it's night and day to be what is in the doing rather than to point oneself to the destination of that doing.
Right. Right.
To live in the destination versus to live in the moment.
Mm-hmm. In the journey. Right?
In the journey.
Same as hiking up a mountain, right? And I've got this in the Native to Life course, that to hike up a mountain, to get to the mountaintop, and to not really be there for the actual hike or the actual journey up the mountain, you know, because you're just trying to get to that view,
mm-hmm.
totally misses so much magic and so much wonder. But if you're in each step, you're being in the doing, it's an entirely different thing.
Being with what is in each step. Being
yeah.
what is in each moment.
Yeah.
Being in that car when you're driving to the store. Where are you? Are you already in the store
mm-hmm.
when you're driving? Or are you being only where you are?
Right.
Can we be only where we are?
Mm-hmm.
Can we be?
Yeah. And so that's being the moment, quote unquote, itself.
Mm-hmm.
Being aliveness.
Mm-hmm.
And what one can find in that space is that things like totally disappear from one's conscious awareness. Like the sense of having this structure of an identity to that requires certain things. Huge things just kind of disappear.
Fall away,
not even fall away, they just vanish. Because falling away indicates that there's like gravity or some shit,
yeah.
right? But like it's just it's like a vanishing act where in that presence, and this is where like there's literature around the observer is the observed. The entity, the individual self that seems to be there, typically, in a typical Western human's experience, the self that one is attributing to all of this action, when one is the moment, that whole thing isn't even present.
Mm.
And one is so enmeshed in the aliveness of life that, like, the person that one thing at one point thought they were, it's like not even conceived of. And conceive is a funny word because conception. Like birth,
mm-hmm.
or like to be enacted in the process of growing to be born. One doesn't even conceive one's identity.
One's individual self.
Right. One doesn't give way to the birth of that thing in the present moment. Conceive. Right? And so one's walking up the hill with no sense of identity. Right? Because the identity is the one that wants to get up on the mountaintop and get the view and take the picture and post it on Instagram and get the likes and blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, the identity is the one who seeks, who wants
right.
that end result, the destination.
Right, because the identity fundamentally exists within the process and the construct of time, of
mm-hmm.
conceptual time.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only place that it can exist. It's based on the past, moving towards the future, all this kind of stuff. In the present moment, as the present moment, none of that shit exists. It's just blah, 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 in mental la-la land, right? But if you're walking on a trail through the forest and you're intimately engaged in this moment here and now, there is no space for that individual conceptual identity because the actuality of existence, of presence, of aliveness here in this moment is what is. And when one is actually in that, there is no space for the identification. Because one is wholly in as this moment, interconnected. And as soon as one is literally here and now, one is here.
Not only being in the present moment, being the present moment.
Yes.
Being what is.
Yeah, yeah. Being is. I am is not there's an individual being something within this thing. It's I am in words the whole thing.
Like,
and so when one is intimately engaged with when one is just truly present in that hike, when this is a common expression in like spiritual stuff, is like one is inseparable from the trees, one is intimately, you know, one is interconnected with the trees, one is one with the trees. What that means is that there's no individual identity separating oneself from the trees. In terms of form, obviously we don't all like melt into one goo, right? That's like when we give up the physical body. The consciousness that isn't manifest in bodies, in physical forms, is that goo. And that's what we're moving in. We just don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we are. We just don't see that. And we're kind of narrowing the focus into a particular band of experience, which is this individual body. Mm-hmm. Within this realm, within this experience that we're in, when one is walking through the forest and the identification with that individuality in the mind, the conceptual identification is let go, and one is just simply in the presence, is the presence. When that verbiage comes in, that you are one with nature, you are one with the animals, one with the trees, it's that one isn't dividing oneself from that conceptually and saying, this is me and there's that tree. One is intimately engaged in the moment of existence. Obviously, there's still the human body. There's still the physical tree form. And what is all of that is aliveness, in words, is the is the moment. The whole thing is one aliveness.
Eye to eye.
Eye to eye.
Through the eyes of eye. Mm-hmm. To see through the eyes of eye.
Mm-hmm. And there's nowhere to get to. And the incredibleness is instant.
The access.
Yeah. And suddenly, as you're walking, there's no such thing as the top of the mountain.
Mm. And yet you're still moving.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can still move.
We must.
Mm-hmm. We can still move along the trail to the top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm. And that's the paradox, right? Because yes, we are the essence of existence. And I am condensing myself into this particular human form, into that human form sitting across from me, and that fan, and this house, and those birds singing outside, and that mountain slowly, that was slowly built and slowly eroding, and the clouds passing by. I'm doing all these things. And it does no good to deny the existence of those things, or to diminish the quote-unquote reality of those things. They're temporary, and it's happening. So be in it, right? And so, yeah, go walk in the forest. Right? Definitely breathe your next breath, or it'll breathe for you. Mm-hmm. There's a perfect example of it. Mm-hmm. You're gonna, like, I went through the experience of denying or attempting to deny the ego, the individuality. And the breath is a beautiful example of, if one were to really go to the extreme of denying the individuality, one would have to come to the point of denying one's breath.
Mm-hmm.
But the breath will take over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll pass out and become unconscious before you can actually will yourself into not breathing.
It'll breathe for you.
Yeah. Life will take over and breathe for you. Be like, all right, we got to knock this, you know.
Suck it out.
Yeah. sends it to the higher ups.
Yeah.
Right? So obviously we're in this experience. Obviously we're here doing this thing. Right? What to make of that?
Can we still walk to the mountain? Can we still, like, making this podcast?
Mm-hmm. And even the thought of it, we already lose it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to do with a mountain and walking right now. Being what is.
Mm-hmm.
Being what is. Immediately the mind can jump in and be like, holy fuck, that is way too insecure. there's nothing to hold on to. I need to have somewhere that I'm going. I need to have a trajectory. I need to have a goal. I need to have all of this stuff because it orients me in time. It gives me a definiteness. It gives me this sense of linearity. I have a purpose. I have blah, 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 blah. And it's so understandable for that to arise. It's intense. It can seem intense to just be here. What the hell are you talking about, dude? There's nothing to hold on to, and you're right. There's nothing to hold on to when you're just fundamentally here.
There's nothing to grasp.
There's nothing to grasp. And yet you're the whole thing.
Mm.
And so there's a transmutation that happens there. Right? Where that which was attempting to hold on becomes irrelevant.
Yes.
Not even becomes irrelevant, but it's just acknowledged. It's clearly seen as not what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. To be what is simply not to be the one who grasps and seeks and clings and just seeks and seeks and seeks and wants and wants.
Mm-hmm.
To be what is, it's not to be that. So it's like, yeah, it dissolves. Mm-hmm. That who seeks from the moment dissolves.
Yeah, which is concept, which is time, or intimately bound with all of those things. And when you're in the present moment, you're not existing in time. You could say, with words, you're existing as time.
True. Fun.
Which means you're outside of it, outside of the boundaries of this moment and then that moment. When one is just here, purely here, there's no time. And what the realm, this is really fascinating. The realm that one exists within when there's processes and time-oriented things, that actually begins to loosen as the fundamental reality. And I say this recognizing that most people exist there in that realm. When one is simply in the present moment, the constructs, the like seemingly laws of physics, so to speak, that we understand to be basically foundationally true.
Yeah.
There's spaces in between all of that.
Mm.
There's spaces in all of that. And one could say that the mental fixation on things being a certain way adheres life to that particular way.
True.
As soon as that fixation is let go, it can be anything, so to speak.
Mm.
You know, purple flying elephants aren't just going to be like lofting around your living room, necessarily, right? And yet, the linearity of time is one thing that directly has been experienced as not being so rigid, fixed. Does that mean that the clock runs backwards? Maybe not.
Mm, can you put words to what that experience feels like?
I think the recognition of it kind of comes in hindsight. A more obvious way that it unfolds is just realizing the density of that which can exist within a given period of time dramatically changes.
Density.
We'll say it a different way. How much can exist within a given period of time dramatically expands. Right? If I look at the last 10 years or even the last 1 year or even the last month of this life, this aliveness here, whatever my mind could conceive of being realistic for what could exist or happen is just way exceeded, so to speak.
Substantial, perhaps, like the substance of the moment. Or perhaps there is more.
Hold the words loosely. Mm-hmm. Let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. Life is so much more dynamic, you could say.
That's what I was feeling. Full.
Yeah. Whole. Integral. Indivisible. Not divided, right? And being adhered to a linear clock and basing like one's whole existence around that. That construct is like underpinning most of Western civilization, is the clock and time and movement through time and aging and all of this stuff and what one is intended to be doing when they're this age as opposed to that age and blah, blah, blah. That's a huge underpinning of that culture, right? I've shared this example with you of a tribe in the jungle in South America, called Amazon. A group of people who were trying to harvest rubber trees from the West went to the rainforest and came in contact with this tribe that was living amongst the trees that they wanted to cut down. The tribe was not stoked on this, was not stoked on this activity, not stoked on the pollution that was being dumped into the rivers as they began to cut trees down. And what this tribe had, because there was no such thing as clocks, right? But they could realize once I was small, once this body was small and now it became old, and that person that was young is now old and waning, just like those flowers do, just like that tree was growing super tall and now it's falling down, right? They recognize that there's these movements within this realm, and so they realize that they too were moving in that realm, right? Just like that tree or just like that body is quote unquote moving through time or moving through this process or this aging, it's already moving. They just, in the same way that a person can move through space, they realize that you can move freely through what we call time.
Mm-hmm.
And that typically things adhere to a particular direction through that time, just like water tends to flow downhill.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to adhere to this particular movement, but that doesn't mean that that's the only movement that can occur. You can carry water uphill. You just have to kind of do it in a different way,
mm-hmm.
right? And so in the same way, they realized that they could carry themselves through time. They just do it in a different way. And so this tribe forms a line, and in this line, they understand to have a canoe. And so it's fascinating that they use this canoe. They line up and they form themselves in this canoe. And they row themselves, they see, they put themselves in a container, just like you put water in a container to carry it uphill rather than its natural flow downhill. They put themselves in a container, in a vessel, and rowed themselves through time to a time in which those people harvesting rubber trees didn't exist. Rather than moving through space, they wanted to stay in the same space. They moved themselves through time.
They didn't leave where they were. They didn't physically leave that space.
That space, they left the time.
The time.
And went to a time when those people weren't existing. In the same way that we, well, with the same notion that is behind our obviousness of moving to a different place, say somebody's singing atrociously. You move far enough away and you can't hear them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what they were doing just through time.
They saw it as the same thing. Like, oh yeah, I can walk myself away from this person singing that. Yeah, I can move myself to a time where these people aren't cutting down these trees.
Right. And similarly to carrying water uphill, which is, one could say, against the typical flow, the path of least resistance,
yeah.
It requires effort to carry that water uphill. And you probably won't go so far, and you probably won't do it all the time. Right? Because the natural flow is to move in this particular direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so time tends to flow in this particular direction, and it requires effort, so to speak, to move in a different direction. You're probably not going to do it all the time. You're going to let it happen within the form. But what is behind the form isn't aging, isn't moving. The context isn't moving. Beingness isn't moving through time. Being is. Everything's kind of moving through that, so to speak. The words fall apart there, right? So that example I shared to illustrate that the constructs that we build on top of the foundation are actually not rigid. Our adherence to them is typically very rigid,
mm-hmm.
and that's what gives them the seeming rigidity.
The concreteness.
And so one question that often arises in this mind is, if there were no clocks, if nobody determined what time it is, and say like a generation went by where this was the case, right? And nobody was really worrying too much about that. Yeah, the sun moves. You can determine what part of the day it is with the sun, right? Let's say that we just let go of that. And this is just a hypothetical nonsense, but let's just say we let go of that. What we currently consider the like rigidity of the increment of 1 minute would cease, not even cease, but just simply, it already does not adhere to that rigidity. Our fixation, our measurement of time binds it to that fixed notion.
If the focus is drawn away from the time.
Yeah.
What becomes of quote-unquote time?
Right. Because you're just here in the present moment. When you let go of time, what happens is you're only here and now. There's no sense, there's no grasping past and future, essentially. You can remember shit, of course. You can consider, oh, I'll collect food for this meal and the next meal so I don't have to go out in the dark and get it once I'm hungry, right? You can have these notions, right? But you're doing that here and now. And not deluding yourself into anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what happens is the moment that one is existing in isn't bound to the rigidity of time.
Yes.
And so what can exist within what we understand to be a minute is exponentially beyond what exists within a minute perceived by someone bound by the conceptual time and identity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To see a minute as absolutely finite, concrete, fixed thing,
mm-hmm.
is to keep it that small.
Yeah.
To see something that small, to keep it right there in that size, that box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What happens if there is no box there?
Yeah.
What can 1 minute contain?
Yeah. And that points me to multiple things. It points me to experience within psychedelics, where something can occur in a tiny increment of time, but it's this unfathomably long experience, right? Dreams also happen very similarly. There's, you know, I've experienced this, and there's a lot of studies done around, like, someone will fall asleep for a very short increment of time, but what occurred within that increment of time exceeded the time in which that person was actually sleeping,
mm-hmm.
right? In order to experience that whole thing, one would have needed more time.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it existed within this, like, 30 seconds of nodding off. Right? So the psychedelic experience, the dream experience, and then there's also within the human and within other species of animals, and this is based also on cognition, of the rate at which we perceive reality in its unfolding. Humans, I'm pretty sure we actually only see typically about 23 to 25 frames per second is a way that we can express how quickly our mind is piecing together what we see visually. Is it can like make like 25 images per second. And that's why your hand, when you move it in front of you, it seems blurry.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than like you seeing it in each motion. But if you move your hand really slowly, it retains its continuity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a single hand, but if you move it really quickly, it ceases to be a single hand.
It's a blur.
It's a blur. Because your mind can only create so many images of it so quickly.
Yeah.
It's not a limitation of your eyes, it's a limitation of your brain to like process that.
Mm-hmm.
Other beings have different rates. They see, like a fly, the typical example is you try to swat a fly, but it flies away. There's a couple of things involved in that, but one of the things is it's perceiving relative to our perception, rate of perception, it's perceiving basically in slow-mo relative to us. So we see the hand moving very quickly. It has a higher resolution. It sees the hand moving more slowly relative to what we see.
Yes.
So we're like, how did it move so quickly? When you watch little animals and birds and stuff, they can move faster than our brains can perceive the motion happening. And it looks like a blur.
Mm-hmm.
But they're moving in that way. And they're aware of their movements. The hummingbird is seeing relative to us in extreme slow motion. You know, so much so that those fast, super fast twitches and all of this kind of stuff that it's accurately moving and navigating, to the hummingbird, it's seeing that very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's deciding and having this factor because it has access to more frames per second within time. So the actual experience of time is dilated.
Mm-hmm.
Time moves more slowly for that bird, and simultaneously it lives a shorter amount of time,
mm-hmm.
relative to what we understand. So time itself isn't fixed.
Mm-hmm.
It's dependent upon the perception,
the perceiver
and the equipment that they have to perceive it, right? The brain and all this stuff. So already that breaks apart the notion of time being rigid. So wild. And so it's just the present moment,
mm-hmm.
in which all of that is happening. And all these classifications, all these ideas are just floating around. But it's just this isness. And being intimately engaged with this isness and stepping out of that time construct linear movement of this thing taking one particular trajectory, it begins to become more like, rather than linear, it's more spherical.
Oh.
Almost. Where it's like, this just like expanding kind of thing, and that doesn't cut it. Just being in it.
Being in.
Mm-hmm. You could say that the resolution is super, super like high definition, so to speak, in terms of time, right? Like each moment is unfathomably fast.
Oh, vast.
Mm-hmm.
Spacious.
Yeah. Because you're in contact with that which is spaciousness in that moment. So yeah, of course it's fucking spacious. Of course it's vast because you're being that whole thing,
mm-hmm.
so to speak.
Mm-hmm.